Caroline, Willie, D-Base, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios. Amy Adams-Strunk had a sit-down with Mike Keith. And of course, and I was listening to it, and it was kind of what you would expect about the excitement of the future of the organization, how she went through the process of vetting GMs, interviewing GMs, why Rand Carthon really stood out to her, all of what you would expect to hear from the owner in a sit-down with the organization. But there was one certain little tidbit that really stood out to me. This was Amy Adams-Strunk in her sit-down with Mike Keith.
He was so excited, and he was just like, I can't wait to get back and start working on that championship for you, Miss Amy. And, you know, that, so if that's my mission to him, you know, I know there's going to be some difficult decisions that have to be made, and, you know, maybe some change. I know they're going to evaluate, so I'm going to let them, you know, have their time to do that. But I think, you know, we're just gonna like be excited for the steps that come, because I know down maybe next year, the year after, I'm not really sure, but I know we have a Lombardi Trophy in our future.
First of all, did they hire an orchestra to play behind them as they were talking? Like, should we have a band? Well, would it make us sound more dramatic?
It needs to be better music, though. that music was distracting.
It sounds like as the credits are rolling in like an after school special, like an episode of Full House. That's what it was, incredibly distracting. So along with the wonderful music, thank you for the Titans for, you know, bringing that into our lives. Along with that, what really stood out to me was Amy Adams-Strunk's point about there's going to be some tough decisions to make. There are going to be some changes on the horizon. And you could say, of course, there's going to be changes on the horizon. There's a new general manager. They're bringing a new offensive coordinator in. But I think it could go beyond just that. And I think the big changes, or the tough decisions that have to be made, I interpret that as there's going to be a change at quarterback. What other big change is there? I don't think Amy Adams-Strunk is talking about the offensive line coach when she's talking about tough decisions that has to be made. I don't think that Amy Adams-Strunk is talking about the guard that the Titans might draft in the fourth round of the NFL draft. I don't think those are overly tough decisions that she's going to be mentioning as we enter the Rand Carthon era of the Tennessee Titans. The biggest decision that I think is facing this organization as it moves forward is, who is your quarterback? Not just in 2023, but beyond. Who's the future of this organization? So when she talks about changes and tough decisions that are going to have to be made, what's a tougher decision than who's your quarterback?
I mean, that's the ultimate decision on any franchise, is the quarterback, because, you know, not to say you can't win, but it's a lot easier when you have that guy at quarterback that's an elite guy. I think she's referring to also is, you know, possible changes within the scouting department, changes within the coaching staff. You know, so I think she's lumping all of that in, but, you know, first and foremost, it's how do you, you know, we know how this team looked this season from a personnel standpoint and from a play standpoint. How do you get better next season from a personnel standpoint that will show on the field? So there are going to have to be some changes made, and there's going to be some, you know, maybe some unpopular decisions that are made within that building, decisions that, you know, maybe wouldn't have been made, you know, had everything stayed status quo, you know, same GM and everything else. But she understands that, you know, Rand coming in, that he's going to evaluate the roster and then make his, you know, determination based upon that. And then they get together collectively and see if everyone's heading in the same direction in regards to what they want to do with this personnel. Because right now, you know, you go from an organization that probably has the best personnel from top to bottom, to a organization that you know, is not one of the best from top to bottom. For whatever reason, they're just not one of the best from top to bottom. So, you know, the decision is going to be made within the next year or two. How do we slowly, you know, make this change without it being drastic, without it having, without us having to sacrifice wins and losses? So how do we make this change? Well, you're going to have to do it, you know, at, you know, there may be some spots where you might have to rip the Band-Aid off. And then there may be some spots where you slowly rip it off in a sense. But, you know, I think ultimately in 2 years, that's why she said, if you pay attention to her words again, she said, I could see Lombardi in a year, 2 years from now in the future, because yeah, she understands.
I don't see a Lombardi next year.
But she understands that it's a process that is going to have to take. And that process starts this offseason. And they're going to start slowly breaking this thing down. So when they move into that new stadium, they have whatever they have personnel-wise, they all like. And they all believe can win the championship.
Like, if you're the Bills, I think you feel like, okay, we've got a really good team. We've fallen short the last couple of years, but man, we're close. One or two moves. What are the one or two moves or two or three moves that'll put us over the top, that'll get us through in that next time we get there? I don't see the Titans in that boat. They're several moves away. They've got a lot of things they've got to figure out here.
And pretty massive moves at that.
Yeah. So let's forget about changing the quarterback and some of the anything like that. But let's just look at, if they were to move on from, say, Luan, Dupree, Robert Woods, Ben Jones, and, you know, maybe list two or three other guys. That alone is a pretty sizable change. Would we agree? Yeah. Right? And that's not even talking about a radical change, right? So there's inevitable change that's coming. So I'm curious, as she says all that, like, what are her expectations for next year's team, right? She's talking Lombardi, but like we all said, you got to be reasonable about it. They're not going to be the favorite to win the Super Bowl next year. I don't care what they do between now and training camp. They will not be the favorite or amongst the favorites in the AFC, even, right?
No, they're fighting to be favorites in the AFC South.
Definitely not. Definitely not. Yeah. They weren't this year. And they had won the last two, right? The Colts were the overwhelming favorite to win the division before the season. So they're trying to fight to get back to a level where they can get where they were before. And that's, you know, solid, win your division, get into the tournament, see what happens.
And I think, you know, when you look at the two, or the options, you have so many options at quarterback. And that's what I want to get into coming up next, too, is the options at quarterback. But also understanding that if you go one way with a quarterback, you might hurt yourself even more in other areas. You mentioned the offensive line. Let's say the Titans do bring back Ben Jones and Nate Davis. And I think Ben Jones might even be a stretch. I think the Titans should bring back Nate Davis. That's a conversation for a different day. Well, you still have 3 to 4 key pieces, key starters to add to your offensive line. You need to re-up the pass catching unit. You need to add some pieces defensively in the backfield. I mean, those are all givens in addition to the quarterback that could or may not be changed. So coming up next, I want to get into the options that the Titans have facing them at quarterback. Plus your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. It's Caroline Willie DeMays, 1025, 106 through the game.
What do you think of Ryan Tannehill, and is he your quarterback?
I don't think that's fair. At this point, we're still evaluating the roster. I am, you know, and that's going to take further conversations with me and Mike. Ryan has been great here. He's won a lot of football games, and I look forward to us winning football games, but I still need more time, you know, to evaluate and make those decisions. As you know, this is a quarterback-driven league, and people are hired and fired every day over that position. So I want to spend more time evaluating that position, so I'll have my own opinion, and Mike and I will confer and figure it out.
There you go. That was Rand Carthon in his introductory press conference, not necessarily committing to Ryan Tannehill. I think we all expected that kind of response from Rand Carthon, but that opens up the door for possibilities. Not doubling down, not saying Ryan Tannehill is our quarterback, unlike what a GM would say if that was the GM of the Cincinnati Bengals or the Bills or the Chargers, but at least opening the door to different possibilities. Ryan Tannehill is still one of those possibilities, but I want to get into the options that the Titans have. But before we do that, your thoughts to your phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mark is up next. What's up, Mark?
Hello.
Yes.
Hey, this is Mark Anthony. I'm calling in defense of Ryan Tannehill and the pretty much the whole offensive situation there.
Okay.
We had a good Ryan Tannehill under Arthur Smith. And so my opinion is just that Jared Stidham want to throw Tannehill under the bus, and that's his opinion. If we get another Arthur Smith, get an offensive line that's better than Pop Warner that I can get through, and I play high school defense guard. I'm 57. And maybe another A.J. Brown, we're back to where we started. Tannehill is the comeback player of the year, what, in 2020, 2019? He's not a Brady or Joe Burrow, but he's a good quarterback.
Yeah,
and you need some pieces around him. And with all those wins he has, him running touchdowns and making plays for us and getting first downs, I don't think he's out of the picture.
All right, thanks for your call, Mark. Tannehill was not the problem this past season. Mm-hmm. Tannehill played fine. Tannehill played Tannehill ball. 200 to 250 passing yards a game, a touchdown or two, no turnovers. That is ideal Ryan Tannehill football. And it's really easy to say, well, if we get a really solid, good offensive line in front of him and then replace A.J. Brown and give him weapons, then he'll be great. It's really easy to say that. One, how much time do you have? Because I don't think Ryan Tannehill has much time to wait for that. So you don't have to replace Ryan Tannehill this year. Your expectations are different if you stick with Ryan Tannehill next year. But to say that, you know, we'll just put pieces around him and he'll be fine, I think it's a lot easier said than done.
If Ryan Tannehill played 17 games, they win the South. I don't know what they would have done in the tournament here. We'll see. We would have had to see, you know, who's back, how was Burks playing, all the guys on defense that were hurt, how many would they have gotten back? What does that look like? But if you just simply could wave a magic wand and say he plays 17 games, it's enough to hang on to the division. Mm-hmm. They may not have won more than 10 games, but I think they'd have hung on. So
yeah.
The question going forward to me is also, he mentioned, and by the way, I like the guy who gives the first and the last name. I was thinking, was that Anthony as in Mark Anthony and Cleopatra? Like we're going back to ancient.
Mark Anthony and J-Lo.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's another possibility. I hadn't thought about that. But how mobile is Ryan Tannehill going to be? How does he age from here? He'll be age 35 season next year. He's going through some serious ankle stuff right now. One of his best tools, attributes, is being really smart how to run with the ball. So what does that look like next year? That's maybe something we won't know for sure, but you probably have to factor in a little bit of depreciation there.
Well, you don't, yeah, and like Caroline, you just don't have the time to sit there and say, well, yeah, Ryan, we're good, and, you know, if we add these pieces to him and around him, as Vrabel has already said, then, yeah, we'll be back where we were in 2020. But even in 2020, when you had all that, you still didn't win. You didn't get to the Super Bowl. You didn't get to where you were going. And now you're asking a guy that's 3 years or 2 years removed, or it'd be 3 years removed, who's gotten older, who's gotten a little bit more beat up, and he's surrounded with a team that he wasn't surrounded with. You can't just wave that wand, like Willie said, and say, okay, we got another receiver. Our offensive line is great. Derrick Henry is back to, you know, where he was 2 or 3 years ago. You can't do that. Mm-hmm. The game of the nature of football, every year, if you don't make the right moves, your team is going to steadily get worse. And for whatever reason, the moves that the Titans made, whoever fought it was, I'm not blaming it on anybody, it's whoever fought it was, this team has not gotten better. So I can't then, you know, I don't want to move on. I'm not saying move on from Ryan Tannehill. I just said you got to get your quarterback that's going to lead you into that new stadium. And then beyond that, it may mean keeping Ryan Tannehill for another year and drafting that guy. Or it may mean drafting that guy and, you know, getting rid of Tannehill. I don't know. But you're going to have to find that guy. But even with Ryan, it's still going to be a process to building this roster back up. to where it was a few years ago. It's going. It took them 3 years to build that roster to what it was, 3 or 4 years. It's going to take 3 or 4 years to build that roster back up, especially if they're not willing to pay the money and go get these big name free agents. If they're willing to do it through the draft and get pieces here and there, it's going to take a minute.
That's one thing you could look at is say, look, Ryan Tannehill, we know his best days are behind him, but he's still a solid pro. We like his makeup. He's a good leader. He's a guy you want around. But now we're looking at him more as, hey, he's a placeholder while we find the next guy. Mm-hmm. That's why my question right now is, as they try to evaluate what's out there, is do I have to get the quarterback this year? Am I committing to we're going to make a move at quarterback? We're going to find that next guy this year, or we're going to find that next guy in the next 2 to 3 years? I think those are two different questions. I mean, that's a layered question. What does the free agent market look like next year potentially? What does the upcoming crop of college quarterbacks look like next season? A lot of variables, and it starts with, okay, if I want to go get the quarterback this year, what are my options?
And that's the key, is you say, do you have to go get the quarterback this year? Well, that depends. Do you love one of the quarterbacks this year? Do you love one of the free agents? Do you love one of the quarterbacks in the draft? If you do, you have to go get that guy. If you don't, you'd be setting the franchise back by trading up to get that quarterback or you know, whatever it might be. So that's one of the Titans' options. Let's talk about that. One of the Titans' options is sticking with Ryan Tannehill. Mm-hmm. So your pros is, you know, you're not going to have to pay him the $18 million dead cap that you would have to pay him if you moved on from him in addition to another quarterback. You have consistency at quarterback, and the fact that Ryan Tannehill wasn't really the problem this year. It wasn't the problem at all. Ryan Tannehill was fine. You know what to expect from Ryan Tannehill. And you could say one of the cons of holding on to Ryan Tannehill is you're not going to be bad. Assuming if you hold on to Ryan Tannehill, you don't draft a quarterback in this year's draft, the argument could be, well, the Titans are going to be too good with Ryan Tannehill to be picking high enough in the 2024 draft to go find your quarterback.
That's a fair thing.
Well, it all depends on. We can say that now, and I would tend to believe that right now. But let's have this conversation after the draft, after free agency, once we get into camp, because I got to believe that, you know, Jacksonville is going to get better. Indianapolis is going to figure whatever they need to figure out. Houston may be a little bit better. They played for Lovey. They just was a bad team, but you figure they're going to be a little bit better than what they were last season. So it's just not a foregone conclusion that, you know, if Ryan Tannehill comes back and we're healthy, we're winning the South. Hell no. It could be the old South. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll win it. But the new South, the way it's looking now, nah, it's not a foregone conclusion that, hey, everybody, all y'all get healthy and we're going to be right back winning the South. Oh, wait a minute. Put the brakes on. Those guys in Jacksonville got something to say about it.
They figured something out.
Exactly. Yeah. They figured something out. And if they once they add some more pieces on that defense and they're young and they're all working under rookie contracts, that team is going to be what Cincinnati is now. I'm telling y'all right now. They're going to be what Cincinnati is right now with Doug Peterson. Once they get some more players on that defense, because their defense right now, I believe, is what's holding them back, because they don't have that true, like, other than Allen, they got some pieces, but they need another corner. Campbell's good, but they need another corner. They need safeties. Once they figure this out, they're going heavy on defense in the draft, believe me, and in free agency. Once they figure that out, this team is going to be hell to be reckoned with moving forward. So it's not just a foregone conclusion. And I think that's what Rand Carthon understands. It's not a foregone conclusion that if we get healthy, we're winning the South, because he's looking around at everybody else. And he's like, we got to get, in addition to us getting healthy, we got to get some players in here.
And I would argue if they were healthy, they would have won the South.
This year.
Oh, sure.
But moving forward, it's just not, I can't walk in here and say, well, yeah, Titans get healthy, they're winning the South. No.
Well, what the Jags have now, too, going for them is, while, and I saw your reaction, Caroline, when you started talking about Lawrence and Burrow. I know you're a big Burrow fan. And
who's not a big
Trevor Lawrence is Joe Burrow. Yeah. I'm just saying as far as the whole team, like, they got receivers, running backs, and everything else.
What's similar, though, even though Lawrence still has to, he's a notch below Burrow. He hasn't done it in the playoffs, but he's on the rookie contract, and now you have, because he's, you don't have that, because it'll be a whole new ball game for the Bengals when they have to sign Joe Burrow to the second contract and he's making whatever, right? Then you get into that Brady question.
Unless
how much is he going to work with him?
Is he going
to work
Brady
with him
move.
To keep my guys? That's the question. But they've got a little time, Jaguars, in the meantime, to spend those extra resources, spend a $30, $40, $50 million on your quarterback. You got the rookie contract, who's pretty talented. He's starting to figure it out some. But now I can really go out and be aggressive to put the right pieces around him now that they've got that nucleus. That's the advantage. That's what's scary about Jacksonville for the next couple of years.
And that's one of the disadvantages. If you go on to move on with Ryan Tannehill, or if you move on with Ryan Tannehill in 2023, you can make the argument you're not going to be bad enough in 2024. I'll say I'll worry about 2024 in 2024. And I'm not, you know, what's the other option? You're going to just be bad and tank for the a top three pick in the draft? And to your point, that's, you know, if you continue with Ryan Tannehill, that's setting you back further and further and further in an AFC that's only getting stronger and stronger and stronger as far as quarterbacks are concerned. So what's the other option? We'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, and also be caller 3 now to win a pair of tickets to the Sad Summer Festival with Taking Back Sunday, Motion City Soundtrack, The Maine, Purists, and more at Ascend Amphitheater on July 23rd. Caller 3 now. It's 1025-1063 The Game.
I think each of the guys in this draft, I think there's some really good prospects in this draft, but I think I heard a caller saying before, and if this guy or if that guy, I think there's ifs and buts to each of these guys in this draft. And I think it's just as likely that some guy you take in the third or fourth round or late in the draft might be as good as, you know, Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, or Will Levis, or Anthony Richardson. Each of those guys has flaws. I've seen their flaws. I've studied their game to a certain extent, coached against a few of them, recruited one of them.
There you go. That was Coach Bob Shoup on Stillman & Company yesterday. I love Bob Shoup. Saying each his evaluation, the guys that he recruited, the guys that he has studied film of, the guys that he has played with or against. And we played against Bryce Young and Anthony Richardson. His evaluation is all of these quarterbacks in the drafts have their ifs, ands, or buts. They all have their, okay, they're a really great player. Bryce Young, for example, great player. I thought he was the best player in college football this year. But he's small. You know, he has his limitations. Will Levis, he has the size. He has that prototypical, you know, pro-style quarterback build, and he played in a pro system. But he made some questionable decisions this past year. He didn't play very well this past year. And you could say that about any player in any draft at any position. But when you think about the number one overall quarterbacks of the past, you know, in recent history, Trevor Lawrence. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone doubted that the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to take Trevor Lawrence overall and that he was the consensus number one pick. Joe Burrow, same way. He was the consensus number one overall pick because he just had everything. He was the complete package. There's not that kind of quarterback in this year's draft. So looking at the Titans' options, stick with Tannehill, draft another quarterback, go into free agency. Looking at the draft, if I'm the Titans and there's not that guy, and there might be. Maybe they evaluate Will Levis or C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young and say, that is our guy. But if there's not that guy, I'm not willing to trade what it would take to trade up to the first overall pick, top three pick, whatever it might be, for a guy that has ifs, ands, or buts.
No, I mean, you're right. If you are in a position to draft one of these quarterbacks or right outside you believe that position is, if you've evaluated, you know, one of these quarterbacks, you know, whether it's, you know, Will Levis or any other quarterback, because in order to get a Bryce Young or a C.J. Stroud, I think you got to move up into that top three to potentially get them. Now, Will Levis may fall, you know, within that top 10, but are you willing to move up two or three spots to get him? Now, if you've evaluated him and everybody in the room says, hey, listen, he is a top 10 pick. If you have the ability to move up and get him, then you get him. If everyone in the room believes he's a top 10 pick and you can move up to get him, then get him. Mm-hmm. But if you don't feel he's the top 10 pick, you say, well, he's outside of the top 10. He's more like a 15 through whatever. Then, you know, you stay at 11. And then if he comes up at 11, then you need to make the determination, you know, is that offensive lineman that we had rated high, should we take him or should we take the quarterback? Which one should we take? Everybody in the room, make your pick. Make your pitch to either guy, and then we'll go from there. That's a decision that Rand Carthon, and that's the decision that Mike Vrabel are going to have to make on draft day. If the quarterback's there and we've evaluated him and he's a good pick, then pick him. If he's not in the offensive line, alignment is there, then you take the offensive lineman, because I think it's either or. I think either you get your quarterback or you get you a lineman, a left tackle that is going to play for you for the next 10, 12 years.
Ideally.
Yeah, that's how you look at it. So, because, again, I don't think you, unless the bottom just falls out, I don't think you'll be in a position to draft these quarterbacks, whether it's the kid from USC or anybody else coming out next year. I don't think you'll be in a position to draft those guys.
And I, looking at kind of the pros and cons of that option, draft a quarterback. Ideally, you have your quarterback of the future. Ideally, you find that young guy that you can continue to build your franchise around. And that doesn't mean that you can't also hold on to Tannehill for 2023, let that guy learn, hold a clipboard, sit on the sidelines, get in, acclimated into the system. I think that has behooven, is that a word? A lot of quarterbacks in the league now. Look at Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. He was on the sideline when Alex Smith was starting in 2017. So I think that that could be an option. So you find your guy of the future. But also, you know, the opportunity cost of drafting a quarterback in the first round is that you don't have a young left tackle that's your left tackle for the next 10 to 15 years. Mm-hmm. That you don't have that pass catcher that you have a first round grade on. Other pieces that this team needs desperately, you're not going to be able to draft that position. And you might think, well, if you have your quarterback, why does it matter? And that's a fair point. But also look at Joe Burrow in 2020. Mm-hmm. He tore his ACL because he was behind a Swiss cheese offensive line. And obviously, of course, you know, we've seen the Cincinnati Bengals reap the benefits of drafting that quarterback and having the benefit of having the first overall pick. But when you get that quarterback, if you're not completely sold, then you also could be setting your franchise back on a guy that you're not 110% on. So you have to be 110% that is your guy. And you also are foregoing a future left tackle, a future wide receiver, a future corner, whatever it might be.
Yeah, that's why I said you know, it's if you believe that left tackle, if that quarterback falls to you, but you still believe that left tackle is the guy you need and is hot, you got him ranked higher, mm-hmm. then okay, take that left tackle. But then you can always say, well, listen, if a Hendon Hooker is around in the second or third round, or Anthony Richardson, or even a Stetson Bennett. If those guys are around in the third round, late second, early third, then if you got them ranked, you know, at that position or higher, do you then say, okay, we keep Ryan, let us draft one of these quarterbacks and develop them for a year or two, and then away they go. Mm-hmm. You can do it that way. So it's not all – you know, we need to get that guy in the first two or three picks. Now, again, if you have the ability to move up and you don't have to give up the farm, so to speak, then you get him.
That's the underscore of how important the scouting uh-huh. is. And I thought it was really intriguing that Coach Shoup, who I think has a really good eye for talent, said there might be some guys that slip to the third or fourth round that could end up being just as good or better than some guys that get picked in the first round. And that's what makes it such an inexact science. Like when Malik Willis slipped to the third round, the Titans were given a lot of accolades last year by saying, wow, look at this. They got a first round talent in the third round. But as you know, here we are sitting a year later with major doubts whether Malik Willis can turn into a starter in this league. Right now, I think the mindset is they don't have their quarterback of the future right now. So that speaks a lot about where Malik Willis is. It just shows you it's just so hard. It's so hard to evaluate talent, right? Mm-hmm. If it were easy, then it would be much easier to find the quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. That seems to be the case. Like there's always in a given year at least 15 teams looking for that next guy, right?
And it takes a whole lot of analysis and sometimes a good bit of luck. Yeah. Just being Absolutely. Bad at the right time. So draft is an option. The other option, picking up a quarterback in free agency. Now, Trevor Maddich was on Stillman & Company yesterday, was asked, if you go out and find a quarterback in free agency, who's your guy?
Carr.
What?
I think Derek Carr struggled in the offense. of Josh McDaniel out in Las Vegas. I think he's a much better quarterback than he showed this last season. And I think that he, with a new chance, with a new opportunity, would do a good job here. Would he do that much more than Tannehill? I don't know. But if Tannehill's not the guy that you want, I think among those, it would be Carr.
I can't get on board. Now, no, Trevor, to be fair, Trevor said if you do move on from Tannehill and you do get a quarterback in free agency, he'd go get Carr. Mm-hmm. And if he had the opportunity or the option to hold on to Tannehill, he would. But if I'm looking at the free agent market, the only quarterback that I view as an improvement is Tom Brady. And I understand that also comes with a good bit of baggage of being a 46-year-old quarterback, mm-hmm. only having 1 year with him, needing to bring in those pieces immediately for this to even be an attractive landing spot for Tom Brady. But Derek Carr, to me, he'll be 32 next season. He is a very similar quarterback to Tannehill. He's elevated by all of the pieces around him. I'm not moving off of Tannehill to go get Derek Carr.
Not unless I get him at a huge discount, which I don't think will be the case.
Nah,
right? Quarterbacks get paid.
Exactly. Derek Carr is going to want to get, you know, his money, and rightfully so. But if you're going to – if you say, well, we're going to move away from Tannehill, if that's your decision, we're going to move away from Tannehill, then I do agree with Maddich that, you know, because I think you know, Lamar is staying with Baltimore. Even if he doesn't sign a long-term deal, they're going to put the franchise tag on him, exclusive franchise tag, where they got to pay him almost $50 million. But then that sort of cuts the negotiation. They have, you know, they have a more of a hand in negotiating if another team wants to come in. So they're going to slap the exclusive tag on him and deal with it from there and try to work out a deal. So he's not going to be on the market. Do you go for Jimmy G? No, I think Derek Carr is better than Jimmy G to me. I just believe if you do move away from Ryan, I think Derek Carr gives you still that ability to win games and still be one of the top teams in the National Football League. Now, how far are you getting the playoffs? I don't know. I really don't. Maybe you don't get no further than what Ryan took you. But it still keeps you in that space of, you know, we're still improving. We're still a good team. No, we may not be picking in the top 10, but then that's where Rand's specialties come in, his scouting and scouting other NFL players, scouting college players, and bringing guys in that can fit the culture of this team and help this team win. But then eventually you're going to have to go out and get your franchise quarterback. But I agree with Maddich. If you are going to move away from Ryan, then I think the best option, you know, as far as free agents or guys other than Tom Brady, is Derek Carr, to me. You know.
And even if that is the best option, it's not an option I would go with. You're not a better football team with Derek Carr.
It's very cultish. Flip-flopping quarterbacks and you know, spinning
your
wheels.
You don't want
to
get
right? You're the Indianapolis Colts.
That's basically what that move would be to me, right? He is a little younger, but and maybe you catch lightning in a bottle, but you see what happens with the Colts going from Rivers to, you know, Brissett to Ryan to Carson Wentz. You know, they've just, it's interchangeable, but they haven't found the guy, right?
Rotation of average to below average quarterbacks, and now they're
and the
in
price
this
you pay for that. The price you pay for that, like. Mm-hmm. There's a price to bring in Carr. What are you paying him? And you've got to get rid of Tannehill, which costs you in some form, right? You got to pay the money to get out of that. So you add that on top of the cost just to change. You're better. The net result is I think you're just better staying with who you are.
And you're out $18 million. Coming up next, we step into Rand Carthon's shoes, our official quarterback proclamation. We'll get into that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Caroline Willie DeMace, 1025, 1063 The Game. Caroline, Willie, DeMace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app, breaking down the Titans' options at the quarterback position. You can stick with Ryan Tannehill in 2023, run it back with Ryan Tannehill. You can draft your quarterback of the future. You can find a quarterback in free agency. You can trade for a quarterback. Stepping into Rand Carthon's brand new two-tone blue shoes, who is your Air Jordans.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty
slick.
Who is your quarterback of 2023?
I want to go get a quarterback. I would say Bryce Young. That's my quarterback of 2023, Bryce Young.
That's fine, though. You can trade the picks to move up to get him.
Yeah, but I'm not trading all those picks. If I can move up to 3 or 4, possibly, yes. But then you're not getting Bryce Young. You're probably getting C.J. Stroud, which is still great. But no. Ryan's my quarterback. One is because I don't think you can bring someone else in. We've talked about this plenty of times, even off air. I don't think you could bring someone else in here and still have that contract looming over your head with Ryan. You gotta, if you're gonna bring somebody else in, you gotta trade him. You gotta be able to trade him away. And who's gonna take that whole contract with an aging quarterback that I could see if he was aging and had led you to a Super Bowl already or something, but he hasn't gotten you that far. So I don't think, unless it's a desperate team, I don't think no team is going to take on Ryan Tannehill because they know what he is, but they don't want to pay him the money that he's making. So I think Ryan's the quarterback next year.
I'm staying with Tannehill, and I would try, I think, to rework the contract a little bit, maybe incentivize him. If he has a good year this year, he could be the quarterback the following year, but also give myself the ability to not have to pay a huge exit fee for that second year. So create a little bit of flexibility. But I'm not looking at him as, hey, can I win a Super Bowl with him at this point? I'm looking for him to continue to be productive. Let's see what we've got. I know what I've got in him. And then I would have my eye out for the next guy. But I'm not committing to having to get that next guy this year. That's how I would look at it if I were the GM.
I think that's fair. I think those are all totally fair points.
I'm not interested in the free agent market. I'm not going Brady. I'm not going Carr. I'm not really going there.
The only free agent that I think makes you a better football team in 2023 is Tom Brady. And if you don't win a Super Bowl with Tom Brady in 2023, then I don't think the move was worth it. Because what do you have in 2024? Going to throw a little bit of a curveball out there. Mm-hmm. If I'm Rand Carthon, and I'm not, Trey Lance is my quarterback of 2023. I think there's nobody in the league other than Kyle Shanahan who knows more about Trey Lance than Rand Carthon. I mean, he scouted Trey Lance. He knows his tendencies. He knows if he's worth it or not. We don't, because we've seen all of a few game sample size of Trey Lance. But Rand Carthon knows everything about Trey Lance. You're getting a young quarterback who is still on a rookie deal. Of course, you're going to have to trade the picks to go get him. And that's an asset that the 49ers are sitting on right now. Since they traded the 3 first-round picks to go get Trey Lance, it's going to be a high price. They want to make the move worth it. If Brock Purdy wins on Sunday, if they beat the Eagles, Brock Purdy takes him to the Super Bowl. I don't know how you move off of Brock Purdy. I don't know how you go back to Trey Lance. So, you would have some negotiating power there of the 49ers pretty much would have to get rid of Trey Lance because, if you don't start Trey Lance and Brock Purdy's your starting quarterback, well, then you're just sitting on your asset. If you do start Trey Lance, then if he throws one interception, the entire fan base is calling for Brock Purdy. Now you have an uncomfortable dynamic there. So if Brock Purdy is, does things that make it impossible for the 49ers to move on from him, then they're going to have to negotiate with Trey Lance. And I think also getting a young quarterback on his rookie deal, you're getting the same kind of benefits of drafting a quarterback, but he's at least more of a known commodity because Rand Carthon knows
him. Yeah, he's older.
He's older.
You've seen him day to day. You know the person. So my question to you is, GM Fenton,
yes,
what's the price to pay for? And what do you do with Tannehill?
Because San Fran they don't have to trade him. They can keep him.
You don't have to trade him. Mm-hmm. They totally can keep him. But I think they would enter kind of a difficult dilemma. Let's say Brock Purdy and the 49ers lose on Sunday. The Eagles go to the Super Bowl. I think everybody still feels really good about Brock Purdy. He'd be 8-1 as a starter, as a third string quarterback. Trey Lance heals. He comes back. He's the starter in 2023 in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. He throws one interception. He has one bad game, two bad games, a string of bad games. Everyone in 49ers fandom is saying, bring back Brock Purdy. So that's uncomfortable. That's an uncomfortable
dynamic. That essentially happened this year with Garoppolo, right?
Exactly. Yes.
He had a bad first game before he got hurt, and it was like, well, we got Jimmy G over here. We won a lot of games with him. What do you think?
Right. And then you would look at, okay, let's say Brock Purdy's the starter. You know, sit Trey Lance on the bench. The guy that you traded 3 first-round picks for? The guy that you thought was going to be the future of your franchise? So that's why I think, and that's just assuming that Brock Purdy continues to be the guy in San Francisco, which we have no reason to think that he won't, San Francisco would be in a tough position with Trey Lance. I think you would probably have to pay. I wouldn't go more than 2 first-round picks. And I think that the ankle injury almost works in the Titans' favor in a weird way, where the 49ers are saying, hey, a quarterback, albeit young, but coming off of an injury, they're not going to be able to get the same return for Trey Lance that they put into Trey Lance.
All right, so what are you willing to give up?
2 first-round picks.
But I wouldn't give
up. Is that worth it?
I wouldn't give up this first round, this year's first round, because I still got to try to build my team. Not necessarily. You can give up future first rounds. And then again, I wouldn't give up multiple first-round picks because –
2 first rounds, pretty heavy.
Yeah, because here's the deal with Trey Lance. Mm-hmm. And I think this is why it's sort of like buying, you know, that house when the market is, like, great and you buy it at its top peak and then all of a sudden, you know, over years the market start to decline. Well, you're trying to sell his house for what you got. For what you spent for it, you're not going to get, more than likely, unless you get that one buyer, mm-hmm. you're not going to get what you paid for. I think San Fran would be in that same situation. They basically sold the farm because they thought that much of Trey Lance. Mm-hmm. The problem is, it's been a small sample size, but people see what he is like.
Right.
And people are like, whoa, whoa, whoa. We'll give you something, but we ain't giving you 2 or 3 first-round picks. We may give you 1 in a second or 1 in a third, but we're not giving you 2 or 3 first-round picks. That's what I think San Fran is going to run into if indeed they choose to move on from Trey Lance. They're not going to get what they spent for
it. And it depends. Is it a competitive market for Trey Lance? We don't know that. Well, that's going to do it for us today. Stillman & Company is up next. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m.
Peace.